Sleep Dystopias, Episode 1, featuring Sidney Wayne Davis, Heather Aubrey, and Sakibu Hutchinson. Fatal Insomnia is the crawl space between waking and sleeping, a valley of bug eyes and head knocking against the steering wheel, a stupor in the headlights of a semi stacked with demolition beaters, zombified, faking out death. In point of fact, the zombies, as the undead, have it better. The condition is more likely to be misdiagnosed as something else. Chronic laziness, a certain problem with balance, a certain problem with motor function, mad cow, dementia, or ephemeral coma. At least, that's what they told Laz at her HMO. Swallow some of Big Pharma's finest, and the world will be right again, the technician trilled into the drugstore cash register, ringing her up for more placebos. The disease took root through mutant proteins, a wrecking ball through the proper stages of sleep. A nightmare started up, then fizzled into the ambient noise of a dentist's waiting room. Incurable. Up late, watching Good Times one night, Laz saw a commercial for a specialist, board certified, office in an armpit, 100 miles north of Sacramento. Pioneered a procedure with a wild fungus they injected straight into the pituitary that zapped the sleeplessness. Brand new patent for 1983. We have one last appointment for Monday. The receptionist sing-songed on the other end when she called. Money back guarantee. All insurance and benefit plans accepted. We don't get you sleeping like a baby in 24 hours. It's Vegas, prime rib, and a hot tub full of your poison of choice. Stop. Think about the first lines of your favorite bedtime story. Who read them to you? Where? When? Repeat them twice, three times, four, until the words are an alien animal language, wriggling on the spit of T's sleep. Laz bought a Greyhound bus ticket to the armpit. If she was going to die, she would live in the throes of carpe motherfucking diem. See the state in one final blaze of refracted glory. 5 hours out of downtown playing solitaire on her lap to the tune of her seatmate's wood-chopping snores, and the bus broke down in Buellton, bleeding transmission fluid in an apocalyptic river outside the town mortuary. It was there that she saw the woman waiting in the van, 60 or so, accent she couldn't place when she spoke. Handsome jawline that jagged down to quiet ruin. Dodger blue baseball cap smashed onto her head. Rings clanking when she shifted gears on her beater, nipping at 200,000 miles. Laz could barely make out her face amidst the hat and the gray hair nuclear fissioning around her eyes. It was the day after Ronald Reagan invaded Grenada, 6 days after the country's leader was executed. Now Uncle Sam was going to show those pinkos swinging his dick like a Louisville slugger in the Caribbean. Protests across the nation. The Joint Chiefs tucking into their sirloin steaks as the island went up in flames and hundreds died.
Where are you going? I can take you as far as the Oregon border. Black lady by yourself isn't safe up here.
A long line of angry passengers snaked out from the front of the bus, cursing the driver, God, the devil, the bus company CEO, threatening to burn the corn-fed fucker in effigy. Big lighters at the ready.
Me and the van had our birthday recently,
the woman croaked, not holding out her hand or making eye contact.
Name's Amos. Used to make tools for the aerospace company down in Long Beach. Went belly up 15 years ago, but I still sell plane parts, supplies, to the occasional special order.
A wing fragment here, a cargo door there, the mother lobe being a metal tray from a transatlantic meal, engine lug nuts, half of an airframe. There are packs of lupine white men roving all up and down the interstate, sniffing around for plane parts. A hoarder fraternity haunting call boxes, rest stops, turnoffs, chasing the wholesale deals on primo artifacts from defunct DC-9s, DC-10s, and 727s. The more elite were fixated on plane crash detritus, coked out on the scripture of causes unknown, cases closed, ghosts in the machine, federal probes with millions flushed down the toilet. Hagglers travel together in packs from rest stop to rest stop, trying to snag the best deals. A whole sub-industry of airplane part junkies looking for the crown jewels of a black box, a control wheel, a radar display from doomed cockpits. Prize items that she could get top dollar for. I'm the only human in the world who can detect black box pings en naturels, she bragged. Born with dog whistle ears, can practically hear fleas fucking. Blessing and a curse.
Where you going, girly?
Laz was no girly. She was banging full bore into 35. In another decade, she'd be blissfully invisible to the wolfish once-overs of the men jamming the city bus, hounding her on the street. In another two, the bloom would be officially off her black don't crack elusiveness. Amos kept her eyes on the road, on the radio. Tom Petty whining about refugees. The station futzing up into a Jesus Saves bleat from the evangelicals with bigger bandwidth next door. Going to Winkin, near Reading.
For what, if you don't mind me asking?
To see a doctor. Amos pointed at the speakers.
By the time we get to Reading, it'll be nothing but a wall of holy roller bottom feeders. Shit, I'm in the wrong business hauling this crap for peanuts. Gonna start me a church. Make way more than I get from Social Security.
The place is a few miles before Reading. I got a motel room there. Laz felt her body cratering, stutter stepping on the edge of sleep, but not going over. Stranded RVs lined the side of the road, gas caps popped and gaping. A trail of empty gas cans littered the shoulders, breadcrumb style, all the way to the next exit sign. Amos nodded, turning down the radio.
Sure thing. Just good to have the company at this hour. Just in case them Peckerwood CHPs get a hankering for black meat. You got bags under your eyes, girlie. Night owl?
Depends on your definition. I don't have a choice.
How's that?
I have this syndrome.
What? You a vampire or something?
Vampires sleep sometimes. I never do.
Sweet. How you manage that?
A syndrome, I said. 95% inherited.
And the other 5?
A DNA fart, like a coding blip. That's me.
Fucked you up real good in the womb, huh?
Laz grunted, waving away a fly that had buzzed through the cracked windows. I-5 flies were big and demanding. Hairier than the average bear, mega fertile in the bone dry heat.
Just so long as whatever you have isn't contagious.
Amos smiled, resting her hand on the gear shift. A gentle clanking rose from the trunk. She took a curve too hard.
Let me know if you gotta pee. I got these specially rigged waterproof baggies for long distances. Working on a patent for them. No more dirty rest stop bathrooms. In the future, the body will be totally self-contained. Instead of garbage in, garbage out, it'll be garbage repurposed into liquid fuel. Be able to fly Lear jets and spaceships with it. Instead of peeing every damn 3 hours, we'll be able to metabolize, store up reserves as long as fucking camels. Take care of half the drought-related deaths on the planet. It'll revolutionize long-distance travel.
Silver headlights pricked the blackness, scissoring across the windshield as the radio burbled another world. Jesus' disciples harmonizing to a countrified rap song about forgiveness, bleeding into a spot for life insurance. Then traffic and weather laid down in a hyper-caffeinated foghorn scat by an announcer named Brother Ezekiel. Laz imagined him getting fucked between the Armageddon temps and the road closures, his lover diddling him softly in the control room while the disciples railed against Sodom, Gomorrah, and the commies taking over the Western Hemisphere now. Tip of the spear, brothers and sisters. Tip of the spear, Brother E chanted.
Homeboy's my favorite. Feel like I'm about to drive into the Wizard of Oz tornado when he comes on. Ever see a police car ripped apart by a twister? Fascinating stuff.
They pulled into the rest stop. The next one was 40 miles away, farther than Laz planned on going. She booked the motel for 2 days, all the money she could cobble together from her job selling magazine subscriptions and copier toner over the phone. The motel brochure had showcased a grip of dinky cottages, the kind of Midwestern antiseptic shacks that her parents had never been able to stay in, steaming from Alabama to California in Jim Crow's gnashing maw. Campers with Reagan Bush bumper stickers snuggled next to the rest stop barbecue pits, fish fried on one grill, a lone flame in the blackness. A man kicked and cussed at a vending machine. Kids scampered in and out of the door of the women's bathroom, shooting each other in the ass with water guns.
Fuck that shit,
a woman yelled into a payphone.
AAA says my car's no good. Can someone give me a jump?
White faces flowed around her, oblivious. At first, all Laz could see were her teeth. Then, a pink teddy bear pinned to her lapel, her fist banging against the phone booth door in rhythm to the operator's rejection. Raffle tickets hung out of the back pocket of her work slacks, the drab brown of a late-night diner shift, slinging corned beef hash to eternity.
I said, can someone give me a jump?
The woman lurched out of the phone booth. The raffle tickets dropped on the ground. Laz walked out of the bathroom and picked them up, handing them to the woman.
What about you, sister?
The woman looked at her straight on, a boring drill gaze knocking down leagues in the sea. Laz had never been called sister by a stranger before, always skimming the margins of the black solidarity lingo and being an only child to boot, grateful for it, unburdened by the hassle, heartbreak, the backstabbing clamor of siblings always demanding and bogarting and ladling up spite with a twisted smile. Still, the woman's tone was kindly, a defiance to her stance that Laz respected, caught in the seamy grip of swarming white people. Laz needed to sleep, wanted to sleep, could taste it, butterscotch ice cream on the tip of her burning tongue. She tried not to look at the teddy bear and its bottom feeder gaze. She started to tell the woman her name, then thought better of it. Best to remain a blank, just passing through. Let the teddy bear try and track her every move. I'm riding with someone else.
Well, let me ask them then. These white folks aren't gonna help me.
She went over to the van.
Excuse me, can you give me a jump?
Amos poked her head out of the window, studying the women for a second, fidgeting with her cap. She grabbed some jumper cables out of the back of the van and walked over to the teddy bear lady's car. A 5-star Detroit shitbox with a jack-o'-lantern grill grin that cried out for sweet demolition. She popped open the hood and put the cables on the battery. The engine clicked, then died as teddy bear tried to gun it.
I just need a ride to the next rest stop. Some folks to meet there at midnight. Got a raffle draw up near Winkin. The winning ticket gets...
Well, it's your lucky day. This girl's here going to Winkin too.
I could give you a few bucks for the gas and the trouble.
Amos opened the door for the teddy bear lady. Laz slid into the back, grateful to let the old lady have the front. Uneasy about small talk and any whiff of probing or meddling. Longing suddenly for the putrid coffee and cigarettes anonymity of the bus. The two were roughly the same height, the same stoop, the same gait. Teddy bear cracked her knuckles. Amos flinched.
I gave up that habit after I got laid off a few years ago.
Goody for you. Me, I ain't got your willpower, least not anymore.
What was that? The two women ignored the sound, comparing notes about the traffic, gas prices, Reagan's fuck-up in Grenada. They both appeared to be the same age. Teddy bear was maybe a little older, a wax museum sheen to her skin that made her eyes pop. She had the look of a hunter dogging her prey in the woods, rising up from between the trees, saying, boo.
Sold a mess of tickets tonight. Winners will be announced at the next rest stop.
They pulled onto the highway, and behind them, families waited to get into the bathroom for a turn at the sinks to wash clothes, dishes, baby bottles, filling pitchers with rot gut tap water, enough to last the 8-hour drive up the I-5 to Canada.
Look at that crap. 3 generations living in their cars with nowhere to go. Selling any shit that isn't nailed down, carrying on right in front of their babies. Heathens. White ones don't get rousted by the pigs. Nice perk. That's all right, though. We got Jesus looking out for us. You ladies ready to accept the Lord as your personal savior?
Amos tightened her grip on the wheel.
Too late for that.
Never too late, baby girl. Dumbest thing I've ever heard. You gotta think of the afterlife.
Ain't no afterlife. It's taxes, serial fuck-ups, death, then dust bunnies for the worms.
Teddy Bear held the raffle tickets, counting the leftovers.
You don't believe that. You can't.
How are you gonna tell me what I believe?
Wait and see. You up on your high horse now. Try 10 more years out here hawking airplane parts with no job security and no savings and see if you're still showing your ass to Jesus.
I busted that ass all these years since I was canned building up a clientele. Shit had nothing to do with Jesus.
White men hagglers wagged their thumbs in the air from the side of the road, dropping them as Amos's van came into view. Scraggly apparitions. She rolled down the window, yelling.
I got tail fragments from a 1975 Pan Am and a 1990 Tower Air Rudder. Competitive pricing.
The white man looked at her dumbly and shrugged. Disinterested. Box. One mouth. Box. The other parroted. Teddy Bear rolled down her window, waving the raffle tickets at them.
What are y'all willing to pay? Ain't no free lunch, suckers.
Amos shook her head, gunned the engine, and drove on.
Later days for them. Best to get with the afterlife.
Barren fields tumbled ahead of them on both sides of the highway. Crop dusters idling in the mud.
All this here's a crapshoot. Every second of every hour.
Lay off it.
Amos nodded at last.
Curly, I should let you drive since you never sleep. Be my chauffeur for a month while I do deliveries.
Think of trusting Jesus like an insurance policy. The more you spend, the bigger the coverage, the less the deductible. There's still time to let him in, baby.
She turned, flashing an earnest smile at Lass, peanut butter flecks at the corner of her mouth. Amos changed the radio station, sending the car swerving, the first peals of a country duet twanging through the air.
I don't happen to like extortionists in my pocket every month.
Don't block the blessings, baby.
I'm not your baby. What got you drunk on this Jesus freak shit?
10 years bouncing around on my own after my eviction.
How'd you get yourself evicted?
My, you're a sympathetic one. Raffle ticket sales took a dive. Rent on the dump I was living in got jacked up.
Bye-bye to a thriving career. Real credit to your race. What exactly do you think you're going to get from this latest raffle, baby?
What kind of gas mileage does this thing get?
Shitty. But you know that. How many decades has GM been ripping us the fuck off? And don't change the subject.
Teddy Bear shifted in her seat.
Hated the 80s. Surprised the planet didn't already blow up around Reagan's arms race with the Ruskies.
Where I am now ain't much better. Fucking 100 degrees in the dead of winter because of those flat earth mofos in the White House.
Fucking planes, fucking cars, fucking cows.
You wasted everything I ever built.
This is gonna put us back in the black.
Don't say us.
We'll split the shit 50-50.
Nah. I get 100% for retrieving the damn thing. Plus, I can keep your ass from getting evicted.
Nah, I'm living all your screw-ups, all the gambling with patents, rinky-dink inventions.
That's right, Miss Piss and Moan. Then go to fuck back to your time. I got this.
Laz raised her eyebrows at the past tense reference. The exhaust fumes had jacked up the old lady's faculties. Confusing them, she thought. The pink teddy bear grinned back at her from the lady's jacket. The car had begun to veer over the yellow line as Amos flipped through the FM stations, cursing the head-banging metal trash, the Dago sludge of New Wave. A pickup truck, diving southbound, honked in warning. Watch it. I want to get out.
We told you, baby. It's not safe out there.